Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answer. You will hear each piece once only.
Passage 1. Friends play an important role in our lives, and although we may take the fact of friendship for granted, we often don't clearly understand how we make friends. While we may get on well with other people, we are only friends with a few. For example, the average among students is about 6 per person. Initially, much depends on how people meet and on favorable first impressions. As we get to know people, we take into account things like age, race, economic and social status, and intelligence. Although these factors are not of prime importance, it is more difficult to relate to people when there is a marked difference in age and background. Some relationships thrive on argument and discussion, but it is usual for close friends to have similar ideas and beliefs, to have attitudes and interests in common. They sometimes talk about being on the same wavelength. It generally takes time to reach this point, although sometimes people click immediately. The more intimately involved people become, the more they rely on one another. People want to do friends favors and hate to let them down. Equally, friends have to learn to make allowances for each other, to put up with irritating habits, and to tolerate differences of opinion.
Passage 2. When it rains or snows, some of the water is retained by the soil. Some is absorbed by vegetation. Some evaporates, and the remainder, which reaches stream channels, is called runoff. Floods occur when soil and vegetation cannot absorb all the water. Water then runs off the land in quantities and can't be carried in the stream channels, or retained in natural ponds and constructed reservoirs. About 30% of all precipitation is runoff, and this amount is increased by melting snow masses. Periodic floods occur naturally on many rivers, forming an area known as the floodplain. These river floods often result from the heavy rain, sometimes combined with melting snow, which causes the rivers to overflow their banks. A flood that rises and falls rapidly, with little or no advance warning, is called a flash flood. Flash floods usually result from intense rainfall over a relatively small area. Coastal areas are occasionally flooded by unusually high tides, induced by severe winds over ocean surfaces, or by tidal waves caused by undersea earthquakes.
Passage 3. In his youth, Sam wanted to learn many languages, to know everything about human history, and to become wise by reading great books. When he first came from Europe to the state of North Dakota, He worked in a small mill and studied all evening. Then he met Lena Wesselius and married her at the age of 18. After that, there was a farm to pay for, and there were children to feed. For many years, Sam had no time to study. Finally, he had a farm that was free from debt, with good soil and plenty of animals. But by then, he was 63 years old and ready to die. His wife was dead. His sons had grown up and gone away. His work was done, and he was unneeded and alone. Sam's daughter and son-in-law begged him to live with them. But he refused. "No," he said, "you must learn to be independent. You will come and live here on my farm, and you will pay me $400 a year for the use of it. But I will not live here with you. I will watch you from my hill." He built himself a small house on the hill, where he cooked his meals, made his bed, and read many books from the public library. He began to feel that he was more free than ever before in his life.
Passage 4. It is my honour to introduce today's guest lecturer, Dr. C. Henry Taylor, a colleague who is so well known to all of us for his many accomplishments and contributions to the field of architecture and planning, that it hardly seems necessary to recount them here. Nevertheless, as a custom, I will summarize his long experience as a prelude to his address. Dr. Taylor received his BA degree in urban history at Yale University in 1955. 5 years later, he was awarded a master's degree in architecture and a PhD in urban design from Cornell University. Upon graduation, he accepted a teaching position in the Department of Architecture and Fine Arts at Illinois University, where he was promoted to chairman of the department in 1969. Last year, Dr. Taylor resigned from the university in order to accept a research position with the Department of Housing and Urban Development in Washington as Director of Planning. Today, Dr. Taylor will speak to us about federal regulations for urban development. And frankly, I know of no one who is more qualified to address the subject. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Dr. Henry Taylor, a well-known scholar and designer.
Passage 5. If you have been on campus for very long, I am certain that you have heard about this course. You may know that last semester, about 50% of the students who enrolled in my class failed. Let me explain how this came about before you jump to any conclusions. In the first place, since this is a composition class, I expect my students to follow certain rules of formality. Unfortunately, students today don't like to follow any rules of formality. especially those they may feel to be unnecessary. For example, I asked that each of your papers be typed and centered on the paper correctly. I count off points for various kinds of mistakes. A misspelled word will cost you 5 points. You have lost 25 points if you misspelled 5 words. If you write an incomplete sentence, you have lost 10 points. If you give me 2 complete sentences as one, without adequate punctuation, you have 15 points. I don't accept late papers. You will receive 0 for any theme you fail to submit on time. I expect you to read any assignment. To make certain you have read the assignment, I will give unannounced quizzes from time to time. This class meets on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You will have a total of 6 tests through the semester. Your final grade will be based on an average of these major tests, the pop tests, and 18 written themes. If you have any question at any time, you can see me on Tuesdays. My office is on the 2nd floor of the building. Your assignment for Wednesday is to read Hemingway's short story on page 55. Friday will be the last class day of the week, so you can expect to write a short in-class theme for me then. That's all for today. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Passage 6. Animals perform many useful and entertaining jobs. Dogs are particularly valuable in guiding the blind, protecting property, finding lost people, and hunting criminals. Horses are used in guarding herds, carrying men in lands when there are no roads, and helping farmers work their lands. Pigeons have long been used to carry messages. Dogs are extremely useful as companions for blind people. When a dog has been properly trained, he will always lead its blind master in the right direction and keep him out of danger. For example, seeing-eye dogs learn never to cross a busy road when cars are coming, even if their masters command them to do so. Horses are also able to learn a lot of things. Horses that are used for guards or police duty must learn never to be frightened of noises, traffic, and other disturbances. Racing horses are able to learn much faster than other horses. Therefore, it is necessary for those who train them to be very patient and understanding. Pigeons have a natural instinct to return home, even if they are far away and the trip is very hard and dangerous. Men utilize this instinct to send messages on small pieces of paper, which are fastened to the pigeon's back or legs. In wartime, pigeons have been known to fly as fast as 75 miles an hour, and to cover a distance of 500 to 600 miles. People have realized that although animals may not have the intelligence as human beings, they are smart enough to learn many things.
Passage 7.
You know, Brian, it doesn't look like you have vacuumed the living room or cleaned the bathroom.
No, I haven't. Ugh, I had a worse day. I am so tired. Look, I promise I'll do it this weekend.
Listen, I know the feeling. I am tired too. But I came home and did my share of the housework. I mean, that's the agreement, right?
All right, we agreed. I'll do it in a minute.
Come on! Don't be that way, you know. I should not have to ask you to do anything. I mean, we both work. We both live in the house. We agreed that housework is both of our responsibility. I don't like to have to keep reminding you about it. It makes me feel like an old nag or something.
Sometimes you are an old nag.
Oh, great.
No, it's just that I don't notice when things get dirty as you do. Look, all you have to do is tell me and I will do it.
No, I don't want to be put in that position. I mean, you can see dirt as well as I can. Otherwise, that puts all the responsibility on me.
It's just that cleanliness is not a high priority with me. There are other things I would much rather do. Besides, the living room floor doesn't look that dirty.
Brian!
Just a couple of crumbs.
Passage 8. The need for birth control methods has developed fairly recently, with the desire among many women to be able to decide when they want to have a baby. At the same time, there is a growing awareness of the problem of a rapidly increasing world population. This problem of a rising world population is largely the result of improved medical skills, which have lowered the death rate and at the same time raised the birth rate by increasing live births and the number of babies who survive early childhood. There is a growing realization that food production cannot keep pace with these increases, the result of which is that in some countries, people are already starving to death, while many millions more suffer from malnutrition. This problem is further complicated by the fact that places like America and Europe obtain by trade and consume far more food and resources like oil than, say, the average Indian, thus leaving even less for the people in the underdeveloped area to survive on. World population is rising at a rate of 2% a year. This means an additional 70 million people a year to the present population of more than 3,500 million. There are striking regional differences in the population growth trends. The fastest growing region is Latin America, which includes South and Central America and the Caribbean, while Africa and Asia closely follow Latin America. However, the largest absolute addition to the world population is in Asia, which at present contains about 3/5 of the people of the world. Passage 9.
In 1626, Manhattan Island was purchased from the Indians by Peter Minuit. It cost about $2,400. At first, it was called New Amsterdam by the Dutch settlers. Later, it was renamed New York by the English. The city grew rapidly. There were several reasons for this. but the most important one is its location. New York is situated on the best American harbor on the Atlantic Ocean. It also lies on the Hudson River, which allows water transportation into the middle of the United States. Today, New York has a population of approximately 8 million. The city has groups from many races. It is famous for its Chinatown. It also has the largest Jewish population of any city outside Israel. After the blacks were released from slavery, a large number of them moved into cities like New York, Philadelphia, and Washington. More recently, people from Puerto Rico have done the same thing. New York is made up of 5 boroughs. The Bronx is the only one located on the mainland, with Brooklyn, Richmond, and Queens being on the islands. It is a large manufacturing center, because factories can be located near good water transportation. 2 of the main businesses are the clothing industry and the printing industry. Most large publishing companies have their headquarters there. The city is often lauded for its large number of cultural attractions. Among them are the Broadway theaters, the opera, the art museum, and historic sites. Of course, it also offers sports fans the chance to sit and tensely watch a live game. One of the most famous landmarks is the Empire State Building. More than 15,000 people work here every year. At 1,250 feet, it is one of the tallest buildings in the world. But New York is a constantly changing city, and this building is no longer the tallest one in the city. The 1,350-foot World Trade Center has taken its place.
Passage 10. You have been in a university before, haven't you?
Yes, in Britain.
How do students go about getting jobs when they graduate?
Well, most universities have a careers advice service. I used to know the people in the careers service in Newcastle University, and they seem fairly successful in finding jobs for students. They are able to get jobs for 30% to 40% of new graduates.
That seems a fairly low percentage.
It isn't if you consider the various other options which they take up. For example, there are a fair number of people who go into further study for master's degree, either at the same university or another university. Then a second group of people who, instead of taking a career job immediately after university, decide to take time off. Maybe see the world. Well, there is a third group, who cannot actually get the jobs they want, and who maybe take something else in the meanwhile. So when I say 30% to 40% find jobs through the career service, that doesn't mean only that number finds jobs. A lot of other people find jobs through the newspapers.
So it is quite really high.
Oh, I think so. And quite a lot of other people, of course, look in the newspapers and other particular journals or magazines which advertise jobs in the fields they are interested in.